You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm Adam Bishop.
And here we are.
Sweating.
It's hot.
Sweating,
here.
Yes. 95 degrees in the shade.
Is it 95?
It could be.
I have no idea. It feels pretty hot, that's for sure.
It's true.
Absolutely no air movement.
When I got home, I had to change my clothes. Before I did, I threw some baby powder on myself just to soak up the sweat. I looked like I dumped cottage cheese on myself afterwards, though, because there's so much.
Some people have a shower. Adam Bishop uses talcum powder.
I don't know how to respond to that.
And that's all the time we've got.
I didn't really.
You didn't really.
No.
So you lied on the radio. Lied, Adam.
Is that what we all do? I brought comics, but
fake news.
I can't talk about one of them now, but which is fine.
Sorry, man.
No, it's okay. Dan says that's not really appropriate anyways. All the things you just said while we were off air, you could have not said on the radio to describe what was in it.
Adam brings in an adult comic book, graphic novel.
It was a trade paperback.
A Matrix porn parody.
You have to use the P word.
In trade paperback.
Yes.
And starts listing the character names. And I say, you couldn't say that on the radio anyways. So don't know what it matters.
Or describe how they parodied every major scene in the book.
Yeah. This is not that kind of radio. However, you are living up to your name as the porn king of Peterborough.
No one ever said porn king until today, and that was you.
And I've said it twice. So
it must be true if it was said twice, right?
It must be true if it was said twice. You know, this feeling in the air tonight reminds me of the day Sam almost died.
In the studio. Room. Where was he sitting?
He was sitting where Chris is sitting right now. And Chris Gilpin was sitting where you were sitting.
Do you feel Sam's spirit?
I don't.
He's here still. But
do you feel do you feel like chewing on a $200 Captain Canuck comic book?
No.
Because that's what Sam did when he lost it.
Really?
He didn't chew. He just gummed it.
Oh, I bet you that made Martin pretty happy then. Eh?
It was my comic.
Oh, it was your comic.
My $200 Captain Canuck
Reborn
number 4. Oh. The oversized 1 of 300.
Yep.
Did he roll it up like a straw first?
No, okay. I passed it over to show Chris Gilpin, and he immediately passed it back because it's a $200 comic and he didn't want to like touch it. And then Sam looked at it and put it in his mouth. So, it is what it is, but we don't have anything worth gumming here. Wait, I think that's a line from your comic, Adam.
Oh. Yep. Yep.
And that's the last we'll say
of all
on
the
that.
Scenes of like, yeah, it'd be this, but I can't talk about it. You know when
it's the bleep bleep.
You know
bleep,
when
bleep, bleep.
Neo's hooked up to the machines and he's like being reborn in the real world. There's that, but they have like light bulbs in their mouths. And I can't go on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Please don't. So, yes, it has been a big week for some news in the comic book industry. Two big stories. about comics that are, or comic related things that are no longer being published.
And one of them, my prediction was wrong.
Which one?
The Walking Dead. We were talking about it a few weeks ago, and I said that they were, I'd heard or read that they were going to cancel it at issue 200.
Yeah.
And I was wrong.
What issue? What did it get canceled at?
193.
It is finished now.
They had 17 years worth of stories they could have put in those 7 issues.
You haven't read the last 20 issues, have you?
I read nothing.
Because it was due.
I read issue one of a trade paperback, and I went, man, this is boring, and I never touched it again.
I don't want to necessarily get into the actual issue, because like,
yeah,
it's so fresh and such a huge thing that I don't want to spoil anything for people, because it is a huge, like, this is an extremely long-running series ending, and so we'll give people time to digest that before we talk about the actual content. But let's talk about the surprise cancellation, the surprise ending of it, that 2 days before the final issue comes out, they say, oh, hey, by the way, this is the last one.
Yeah.
Now that, I think that's great on multiple levels. One, okay, here's the thing. One comment I saw was, well, this is awful for comic book stores because they won't be able to order stock. But on the other hand, the fans are actually getting the book. The people who have this on their pull list are getting the book, the ones that stuck around.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, the shops aren't flooded with copies and you don't have, you know, such a huge amount of scalping as you might with, if it was a number one issue, there would be so many scalpers trying to sell it on eBay, and while they are still selling it on eBay, you know.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like not a lot of comic book stores took advantage of ordering a lot of refundable issues.
And that's the thing, too, because as soon as I heard, you know, and I posted it in our little group where we talk about stuff, and then you said, oh, yeah, this one was the one that was refundable. And I was like, yeah, we just talked about the fact that Diamond was going to allow refunds on that.
And nobody ordered it.
Yeah, that was oopsie, I think, on a lot of parts. Yeah.
I assumed, I posted in our group as well, that I thought the ending would be the bad choice of a Choose Your Own Adventure book, which I don't, because I haven't read it, I don't know if it was, other than the synopsis I was given.
I don't even know what you're talking about, so no, I don't think it is. Yes, I do know what Choose Your Own Adventure is. I don't know how it applies to this situation.
Because it'd be like, you know, you're reading your book and you continue going on, and instead you pick the wrong one. And it's just like you die. It's like end, and that's how, okay, probably how this felt. To
you
some
know,
people.
We were talking about this earlier, and I did say, you know, you have this for this issue to come right after Rick dies in the previous issue, and then immediately the series ends. It does feel a bit like, yes, you picked the wrong thing, and now you're at that the same page every time. Choose Your Own Adventures, man, you know that page like 47 is death, so when you see the choices, like, turn, if you want to go left, turn to page 22, if you want to go right, turn to page 47, and you're like, nope, 47 got me last time. I'm going to page 22.
Yeah.
So, but it does feel very, it felt very, because I haven't had a chance to get to my comic shop, but I wanted to read it to not get spoiled, and also to just have a chance to talk about the thing. The fan just died.
Our fan died.
And so we are going to die. So
slowly and painfully.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's just the house is just burning down around us. It's fine.
Image canceled it.
So I read it digitally. And it is it's listed as an 81 page issue, I believe, digitally. However, like, there's 55 pages of story, and then the rest is, like, ads. I don't know if it just, not like ads, they don't ever do ads, but like, there's a big letter from Robert Kirkman about why he chose to do what he did. And basically, the funny thing is, the way the book ends, it could have been done at any time. It doesn't necessarily have to have come at this point. So he could have written another story arc taking up 7 issues, and then put this on the end.
I think more people were kind of banking on the 200 end, like going for that, the big issue number, rather than just saying it's 193. Thanks for coming out. You know, appreciate it. Done.
I mean, because 193 is such an unsatisfying number. Like, you are that close to 200. They could have done 7 issues just of the aftermath of Rick dying.
Yeah.
Easily. But, yeah, they didn't. And I have a lot of respect for Kirkman for just pulling a surprise ending that's going to... Because, you know, like, 2 years ago... I was talking to Chris Gilpin on the show here, and I was like, man, it's impossible to be surprised by anything ever, because the internet ruins everything, or previews ruin everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible to be surprised, and he surprised us.
Well, and that's because they released 2 covers of 194 and 195. They have artwork for those 2 issues as if they were going to be released. They were... available in previews. They had a number, so you could pre-order them, and they don't exist.
Are those covers in the last
I didn't
issue?
Get that far.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just stopped when I read the story, and then I read like the first couple paragraphs of what Robert Kirkman was saying, and I was like, okay, that's cool. Well, it's like 11:30 and I'm ready for bed, so I went to bed last night.
Nice. Bed's good.
But you know, that's not an unusual thing to fake solicits.
No.
Because I definitely remember other times that DC has done this with books where the sales, like they had planned to cancel the books due to sales, but didn't tell anybody, and then just put up fake solicits and then cancel them.
I find that when I order books and they never, ever come. It's sort of the same thing. You're just like waiting and waiting and waiting, and it never happens. So I don't. It's some of that. Maybe they didn't sell enough books for that those ones specifically. But but again, if you want to surprise somebody, that's kind of the way to do it. I think everybody was kind of like, "What the heck," you know.
But and I really do think though, like the reason that I'm so pleasantly surprised is because it completely undercut a lot of scalpers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
People who were planning to, like, I saw a post from Worlds Collide in Oshawa on their Facebook page, and it said literally, no, we don't have The Walking Dead. No, we wouldn't have sold you 5 copies anyways. Because people come in and like, I'll take all the copies you've got because I can. And the thing is like, okay, so I saw a Facebook post that was like, Walking Dead's going for $16 on eBay. But like, it's if this issue is still just selling for $4 American, which it might be more because it was a double-sized issue, you know, that's $5.50 Canadian. If you're selling it for $16 American, like, you're making $10, but the amount of effort you're putting into packaging and shipping that is not worth $10.
No.
You know? Like, flipping books is not a way to make money, especially not if you're only getting $10 over cover price.
I'm a terrible flipper. I'm going to admit it right now. I've bought books in going, you know what? I'm going to sell this. The first Gwenpool cover, I have the variant with her, like, you know, on the floaty.
And the,
I'm gonna, like, I'm going to buy that because right now it was like, I got it for like $5. I'm like, man, this is a $25 book. I'm going to turn around and flip it. Nope. Into the collection it goes.
I've only... like.
I'm just a terrible flipper.
I've only ever sold two comics? I've only ever sold 2 comics. One was the CGC book that I bought, Dan, with you, the first one.
Yeah, Web of Spider-Man number 1, 9.6 CGC, I remember.
And then Dan was just like, I wanted to buy a CGC comic, and you did. and then the other one was, What If Venom Possessed Deadpool?
Okay.
And I sold it for like 300 and something.
Yeah.
Because Deadpool's hot, and it was Dan. He's like, is that this comic? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's worth a lot of money. And I'm like, I'm getting rid of it because, like, I could care less.
Yeah.
It wasn't near and dear to my heart.
How come I didn't get some commission on that?
And
if I pointed out that it was worth a lot of money.
The kick in the pants to that.
Oh, because I already owned it.
Is for anybody who actually reads that book.
Mm-hmm.
That's only part 1 of 3.
Oh, no. It was 4 parts, and this was the one that had all them
Oh, all in one, together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which I did. I would always buy one shots. Whenever I see them on the shelf, I buy one shot.
Yeah.
It's just one story. I don't have to get anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was four different mini stories in other comic books that they re-released as its own comic.
Okay.
And I think that's the only reason why it was super popular and people wanted it.
Yeah.
I have the four single issues by themselves as well, and those are worth a little bit, but not nearly as much as that one was.
Yeah.
It's now,
funny how stuff like that gets expensive.
Oh, it went to Hawaii.
Hawaii. Yes. So it's doing the Aloha thing, and nice.
Speaking of like buying things specifically with the intent of flipping them, I have a lot of similar stories to you, Chris, except I like would purchase something with the intent of like, well, maybe I'll sell that again. And so I currently have like probably 12 copies of Spider-Gwen number one, not the first appearance, but just number one of the first issue.
Yeah.
And I'm bad because I'll buy it, but then I'll be like, I'll be exactly what I just said. I'll be too lazy. I'll be like, it's not worth it. It's only $10. I'll just keep it. And so that's how I end up with a whole bunch of copies of one thing and then stuck with it.
Yeah, because once the heat dies down, it tends not to come back, you know, unless all of a sudden they're going to be in a movie or TV show, and
yeah,
all of a sudden everybody's like, oh my
goodness. Spider-Verse probably bumped up that value a little.
Of Spider-Gwen number one, not the first appearance, but her actual comic book series? No.
Probably. No, not at all.
I think because everybody bought a whole bunch of copies.
Yeah.
Now, it is weird. Like, Spider-Woman number one from the like 70s or 80s there has like been getting, and Moon Knight number one, those ones are worth like, you know, 10, 15, 20 bucks, even though they're not first appearances or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, because like the way Marvel Comics used to work, right, they would have the character appear in like one of their weird books, like Marvel 2-in-1, as a first appearance, but then they would redo the entire origin story and launch them in their own series. So, you know, Spider-Woman number one is the new origin of Spider-Woman, so therefore it's sort of the first real appearance of the character in its actual continuity that they're going to use, rather than whatever weird thing they introduced in, you know, Marvel Premiere or Marvel Spotlight or Marvel 2-in-1. So.
Marvel Spotlight.
Marvel Spotlight.
I have number 5.
Is that first appearance of Ghost Rider?
It is.
I have number 5 as well.
That's it's a very fancy club. Where's Adam in this club?
I have Cable Ghost Rider.
He has the Matrix porn parody number
Shut
5.
Up. It's a trade paperback.
First print.
I doubt that they did a second print. Hold on a second.
I doubt that they were allowed a second print.
Not for sale to minors.
Of course.
Come on.
So,
first print.
There you go.
There you go. Is it autographed?
What's that?
With marker?
So, yeah. Chris, what's your my Marvel Spotlight number 5 is a CGC 5.0.
Ooh, yours beats mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's like a 2, and it's not CGC'd.
Mine is, this is the one comic book that I've bought that has increased greatly in value. I picked it up for like $275 about 3 years ago. I know it's the most
That's
expensive comic book I've ever bought.
How much was the Kinect one?
That one was $200.
Okay.
But yeah, this was $275, and I don't know what it's trending at the moment, but like I accidentally checked, like I was just looking through random CGC listings like 2 or 3 months ago, and then I saw one that was a lower value listed for $500, and I checked the 5.0s and they were going for like $500 to $600, so double what I paid a couple of years ago.
It's always nice when you see that, but again, yep. I'd never sell.
No, and I mean, it's actually, so I was actually thinking this morning, I was like, if I was going to sell something like that and put it towards something else, like what key comic is there out there that I would be willing to sell some of my current keys and minor keys towards? And I was thinking, like, you know what the comic book that I really want to own is like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one.
Oh yeah.
Because like I'm a lifelong Ninja Turtles fan of the all the other stuff. I've never collected the comic seriously, but you know, I've watched all the movies, even the bad ones, and the TV shows, so many TV shows. So
yeah, lots of incarnations of the last one was really strange. We were walking through Walmart and my son and I were walking through the toy section and he's like, what did they do to my turtles? He's like, they look so dumb.
They do.
And he was so disappointed that they had changed the turtles. And I'm like, man, they look nothing like when I was, you know, a kid and they had turtles.
They're supposed to all look the same.
Yeah.
With different bandana colors. And that's it. You don't need anything else.
No.
Dan is currently fixing the fan.
Dan's getting hot.
Is it a timer? Oh my god.
Jesus.
Oh, that's amazing. It's
okay, Image, we did our part. Now do yours.
That feels so much better. Thank you, Dan. You're my hero.
We're talking about Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Adam's a genius and didn't know that there's a timer on top.
That's weird.
I mean, it is a little weird.
I've never seen that
before. Whew.
I thought it was a thermostat for heat.
I can stop texting people telling them that I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that was.
Talking about Ninja Turtles.
I'm going to die in here.
Are there collections of the Ninja Turtle Adventures comics, the ones that are based off the TV show?
There is digital collections, I know, because I've seen them on Comixology.
Okay.
And you know what? That is one of those weird ones. Where the first appearance of Bebop and Rocksteady in comics is actually in the Ninja Turtles Adventures comic, not the regular Ninja Turtles, because they were invented for the show and then brought in just like Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
You know? So if only the first appearance of Bebop and Rocksteady was the same value as Harley Quinn, then that would be great.
Did they bring them in to standard continuity for the turtles?
I'm sure they have, yeah.
Which one do you think is more valuable?
Probably the first appearance, not the
well,
like
be
bringing
like
them into
cartoon version then.
Because they're still cartoony.
Version. Yeah. Well.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think they brought them into like the original run. Like I don't think like the Kevin Eastman Ninja Turtles had Bebop and Rocksteady, but they're like in the current comics and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's part of what fans do for books, right? You know, so the fans, they loved Bebop and Rocksteady as much as they're like crazy and wacky looking and stuff. But the fans really like them. And so they wanted to be able to take the TV show and sell books. So they stuck them in there.
I just, I'm looking up the Ninja Turtles Adventures trade paperbacks. I see up to volume 15.
15.
And I want them all.
Because
they're so good.
They only put out like 4 issues per volume.
Ew,
like
really?
They're really
$22.
Yeah. Yeah, they're what? Really like if it's the same as the digital ones. So your best bet's to actually just look for the comics.
Ew, it is 4.
So
okay.
now you have something that's not weird that you can collect when you go to the comic Alley Toys.
The best comic book store that I know of locally. Wait, damn it. They're good.
Bridge Burn.
I know. I like our local store too. That's where my pull list is. I picked up Rocko's Modern Afterlife, issue 3.
I love that even the current comics that you buy are weird ones.
Rocko's Modern Life was a great TV show. Did you watch it?
No, I never watched
what?
It.
Yeah, it's a TV show book. So it's a comic based off of a TV or a cartoon.
Exactly like Ninja Turtles.
Exactly. Yep.
Adventures. Ninja Turtles Adventures. Somebody out there is yelling at the radio, no! No!
It's a comic based off a TV show based off a comic.
That's like G.I. Joe, right?
Yeah.
It's a toy based off a comic based off of a... Oh, man, it went to movies and then back to comics and...
Speaking of weird things, in the same line of thought, I was watching the I can't remember what it was called, Behind the Toys or something like that, on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Toys That Made Us.
Toys That Made Us, yeah. And it was about He-Man.
Okay.
Oh,
and
so good.
First of all, everybody involved with He-Man swears like a sailor. The show was just full of F-bombs with them talking about stuff, and it was hilarious.
If you were to watch the previous episodes, you're like, oh, this is a family show, sweet, and you get all the kids He-Man's on, and you, all of a sudden you're like, get out of the room, you're not allowed listening to this, these guys are bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious.
And the story of He-Man, the cartoon, is so great because, you know, it was all about guys making toys and trying to sell the toys, obviously, as we all know.
Yeah.
But what happened is, like, the first guy who makes the toys and he's trying to sell it to a big toy company. And they're like, well, it's just a toy. And he's like, no, there's going to be a comic book with every toy. We'll have a mini comic. And the toy company A is like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, okay, let's do it. And they're like, great. And then, you know, they go up to... 2 months later, there's another toy fair where they're showing their thing off, and they go up to toy company B that's bigger than toy company A, and they're like, yeah, and we have this toy, and there's going to be a comic book. And they're like, well, I don't know. Comics aren't that cool. Like, we don't really care about that. And, you know, the guy's like, and a TV show. Yeah, we'll do a TV show. And, like, the show literally came around because some guy was just talking out of his butt trying to make sales on the action figures. And the iconic He-Man and the Masters of the Universe TV show came out of that.
Man,
I love it.
There's a full movie documentary for He-Man. I think it's called probably The Power of Grayskull or something like that. And it's, I think, like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours long. And it goes even deeper, which is a great one to watch. And they go into the Marvel comics as well. It was Marvel, right?
Yeah, it was Star. But
Star,
yeah,
comics,
was...
Marvel. Love Star.
I do have the first appearance of He-Man and Skeletor in comics. DC, I can't remember what it's called. It's 47.
DC Presents.
Yeah, DC Presents 47.
I've got that one too.
Yeah. Oh.
So
no Adam keys. Feels out left out
I have
again.
No keys.
I don't know if I would call that a real key. I think that's a nostalgia key.
Is totally a nostalgia key. Yeah.
I mean, until He-Man gets a rebooted movie.
That's apparently it's in the works.
Yeah,
apparently. They're always in the works. All of them, like, yeah, we have that on the back burner.
I think that's just so they can keep the rights to it so somebody else doesn't end up with it.
My biggest regret, okay, I don't know if you guys have one of these as well, but my biggest con regret is that we went to about 2.5 years ago, actually, not 2.5 years ago, probably 2 years exactly this weekend, because it was the... Oh, no, never mind. I'm stupid. It was the Ottawa Comic-Con. I know the Montreal Comic-Con's out right now, and that's why I got confused. We decided to do a day trip up to the Ottawa Comic-Con. It was me, Chris Gilpin, and Marty. I don't think Sam came, but I could be wrong. But I think it was the three of us there. And so we got up at, like, 5:30, met at Marty's house. He drove us there from 6 o'clock. We drove 4 hours to Ottawa, went to the convention, and then... You know, went for 3 or 4 hours and then drove 4 hours back. And it was like the longest day ever. But right as soon as I got there, I saw like a CGC 9.6, I think, of that first appearance of He-Man for like $120. And I was like, okay, I've got like $150. If I don't see anything else, I'll buy that. And then I don't know if it sold or if I just never found that vendor again because the show was so big, but I looked for it for like 20 minutes, like frantically running around the vendors looking for this. Couldn't find it. And that's my biggest regret because that's a very expensive book now.
Yeah.
And so in like a 9.6, that's probably at least a $200 book. So I won it.
Do you have any regrets?
No, but I have kind of an interesting story that almost was a regret. So I was walking through, we went up to the Toronto Con this year, and we were walking along, and I saw a book on the wall, and it was Old Man Logan. I think it's number 66. It's the variant cover by Herb Trempe, however you pronounce his last name. And it's like the first appearance of Wolverine, like the, kind of a play on that cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was walking by, and I saw it, and I'm like... I bet you that book's more money than I have because I've seen it on eBay. I've been watching it. I'm like, it's going to be at least $100. So I said to the guy, I'm like, how much is the book? And he brings it down. He's like, it's $25. I'm like, I'll take it. So then as I'm looking at it, because I didn't really look at it. I'm just like, I want it. It's autographed by Herb.
on the front cover with the Fan Expo thing in the back for 25 bucks. And yeah, so I have this at home in my collection, and I was not the only person who walked by that book because it was at the back on the wall up high.
Yeah.
And you couldn't see the price. I was almost like, I bet it's more than money than what I have.
The higher you go, the further away it is, yeah, the more expensive it is.
Right. And it was like at the top, in the middle. And so I was like, that's going to be way more than what I have to spend. And I bought it. I couldn't not buy it at that price, but I was just like, oh my goodness, how many people would like beat me up in the parking lot if they knew that I got it for like 25 bucks?
Yeah, no, that's good.
So,
and yeah, autographed too, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so that was an almost regret for me, but yeah. Adam?
He regrets not buying any Key Comics.
I have one regret that's happening right now, because at the Montreal Comic Con, Christopher Lambert is there.
Oh.
Of course it has to be about Highlander.
Yeah. He's there. He's getting old.
Very.
He's going to be Stan Lee soon.
Maybe he's not. He's not Stan Lee.
He's not. Well, to me, he's not Stan Lee.
No, I mean, like, he's not nearly as old as Stan Lee
was.
Oh,
no.
So there's a chance.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Weren't you just in Quebec?
I was. I went to one comic store.
You couldn't have changed the dates on the.
I know.
You'd just be like, listen, sweetie, we need to go next weekend, not this weekend.
A friend of mine sent me the picture, be like, Christopher Lambert is there. And I'm like, I can't go. I'm in Quebec City the week before. And then the week after this week, I'm going to Kitchener to visit a friend. So I'm like, I can't be gone all these weekends. Yep.
Ouch.
Well, maybe he'll come to Fan Expo.
I don't want to go to Fan Expo. If
not
it's any
even
other
for
one.
Him. Because what do you think that the Montreal Comic Con is going to be their version of Fan Expo?
Yeah, because he's from France, so he speaks the language, kind of. So it's
he certainly doesn't speak
not Canadian French.
English well.
He speaks French.
Doesn't he have
Canadian,
like, the joke about the movie is his accent so bad?
Oh, yeah. He played a Scottish guy in Highlander when he's French.
Yeah.
And Sean Connery played a Spaniard? He's Egyptian.
Yeah.
He's Egyptian.
With a Spanish name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wacky.
It's a great movie. I would have brought Highlander comics, Highlander everything.
And then he'd be like, I don't sign Highlander garbage. And you would have cried.
He's like, bring me Mortal Kombat stuff. It's like, no, sir. Bring me Tarzan. It's like, no. Yeah.
Have you seen the commercial with him as Raiden?
Yes.
Where he's playing the video game? Aside from the fact the commercial is all in French, but when you get to the end, and it doesn't even look like
him.
No,
it doesn't.
But he laughs, and you're like, yeah, and it's like, oh my goodness, I could walk by that guy in the street and not know it was him.
Yeah, there's a great laugh compilation on YouTube, obviously, of just like 3 minutes straight of him laughing in different movies, because it's the same in every one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's iconic from Mortal Kombat, mainly. I think he does laugh in Highlander a couple times, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. He's laughing, he's like, I'm doing a fourth one.
Actually, I do have one comic book regret that I didn't buy. Giant Size X-Men, number one.
Oh.
For $100.
What condition?
It was in near mint.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would go for reader copies. Like, me personally, I don't care.
For $100, that's what you'd get a reader copy for now.
Yeah,
yeah, but I was in high school.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
$100 is like $1 million.
$100 was like $1 million bucks. Yeah. Now I probably could have I bought all kinds of stuff. That was weird. From the comic shop, and
did the fan just meow at us?
yeah, it did. Totally did. And I'd bought all kinds of stuff, and he'd let me do layaway before, and that's how I got my Amazing Spider-Man number 129 and my Hulk 181. Mm. He let me make payments on it, and I should have just did it, because every time I see one for like $500 plus, I kick myself for not buying it. Again, I would have never, ever sold it, but I want one, and now I can't afford one.
I was just randomly flipping through the Bleeding Cool listings here, and apparently I have two valuable comics waiting in my pull list, because
uh-oh,
the first female Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic in TMNT 95 is $30 on eBay now.
Is it Venus again?
That's one that I get on. I don't know, Adam. I haven't read it.
Well, that was the female Ninja Turtle from the live music, like rock show they had.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
What's the other comic?
She was in Power Rangers too. My kid watched all the Power Rangers, and they did one where they crossed over with the turtles in New York. And they used three of the male turtles, and they had one of I never really watched it that close to find out what her name was, but
it's Venus.
It was Venus. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's she. Spoilers. I don't think there's any Ninja Turtle readers in our list, really, but it's a female character that's been recurring throughout the last few issues who needs some medical help, and the only way to save her is to turn her from a human to a Ninja Turtle.
Nice. I was going to say, did they make her She-Hulk and give her a transfusion of blood, and that's why
they
turned?
Did. Yeah, they totally did.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she doesn't have a shell.
No.
Not yet.
So she's not even a turtle on a half shell.
No, nope, she's a turtle on a no shell. Yeah.
That's great.
Rich Johnson was in such a hurry to get this article up that he didn't spell check it. Well, he did spell check it. He just didn't reread it because he misspelled the word kneading into seeding.
Oh.
So spell check wouldn't catch that, obviously.
No, the grammar.
Yeah.
That's a green underline blue. I don't know.
I use Grammarly.
Okay.
For our writing, and yeah, it's pretty good. So, scroll back down to that mad one. Yeah. Did you see that? So they're actually not totally canceling Mad. It's just going back to reprints.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if that's better or worse, but
that's what you do when there's an outcry and you still want to make money.
Yeah, they'll have like anniversary issues, the best ofs.
Yeah.
Every holiday will have a Mad centric one.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have that one.
Oh, do you have that one?
I have that one.
Yeah, the Inside Mad book is now temporarily out of stock, of course, because everyone wants it.
You should sell that right now.
I got mine at the dollar store.
Really?
For $4.
Oh, see? I think I got mine at Chapters in their clearance section for, it was probably like $10, $10, $15.
Yeah.
Because they have like comic stuff in there all the time.
Okay.
And they're usually like information books.
Yeah, not like actual graphic novels.
No,
Everybody's going to swarm the dollar store now.
Ah. Oh, yeah. The dollar store has some good stuff once in a while.
Yeah. Somebody posted that the dollar store, where was it? Somewhere in Coburg,
yeah,
had
somewhere.
Like Neymar anthologies and stuff like that. They were so I think they were like $4.
It was at the Dollar Tree, I think.
Dollar
Tree,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But yes, yeah, so in case anybody doesn't know, you know, DC canceled Mad Magazine two or three days ago.
I wasn't aware that DC owned them, to be honest.
Neither was I. And so there was a big uproar about that.
Yeah, because Dark Horse publishes EC Comics. So I assume that Dark Horse would have had Mad, because it was the same parent company at one point, but I guess that changed over the years.
And
they've been published by DC for a long time.
I know that.
It's funny because after they were canceled, we'll just say they were canceled because there's going to reprint only is being canceled.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
You're canceling any new input and just, like I said, making money off of the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook was all people posting stuff and going like, oh man, I can't believe they would cancel Mad Magazine and stuff. And there was an article going around that was like, all these people who can't believe they would cancel it, where are you now buying it? But the thing is, we're allowed to regret that they're canceling something that maybe played a big part in our formative years as teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would want to read Mad Magazine as an adult. Adam Bishop is like looking stunned.
When I talked to Dan earlier, I said when I was a kid, I loved the parodies, and I'm like, oh, this is really funny, like how they drew them, but all of the actual stories probably just go over my head, where I'm like, I don't understand this, but it's funny, like, look, but Like, yeah. Spy versus Spy obviously was like my bread and butter. I like look for that. I'm like, there it is. And I have a Spy versus Spy hardcover at home with not all of them, but probably just a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. Like, when I was a teenager, I read it all the time at the library at school, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and it was a big part of my teenage years reading Mad Magazine.
I would buy the occasional one if it had something on the cover that I liked. So I've got Star Wars issues, and I've got a Total Recall issue, which is absolutely hilarious. And it's just, I mean, I read them too, but I honestly have not bought a new Mad Magazine in 20 years, probably. Like, it's, so for me, it wasn't exactly on my pull list. So yeah, I'm sad to see it go, but I wasn't reading it anyway.
But like, cause it's, we're, you know, sad because it's the end of an era of something that meant something to us at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what might be like a fair comparison would be like if they canceled Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
People would be like, oh, I can't believe you're doing that. And then they'd be like, well, you're not watching it though. And then you would be like, well, maybe it's not as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a reason people aren't buying it.
This is, I'm passing this around. This is my favorite Mad Magazine cover because it's Stallone.
Yeah.
Dressed up as Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd.
But it's yeah. the artist who drew it, which you can see in the bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah.
Frazetta. And it's beautiful because Stallone's all, ugh. But yeah, that's, I've been looking for it. You can get it like cheaply, but.
Probably not anymore.
Ah, probably.
Just because you want one. That's
no, this is like, what was it, 93? Yeah, oh, 95. Yeah, no,
but it was books like that where a lot of the guys cut their teeth, like writing mm-hmm. and drawing and doing those kinds of things. Because honestly, the art didn't have to be fantastic in the book, but it was a good place for somebody to get started.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're drawing Spider-Man or the Hulk, or, I mean, some of them are bad, but, you know, like there's still a certain level that people need to recognize it. And something like that where you can kind of have your own spin and your own flavor on the art, it's different.
Yeah.
Because I read comics in the 90s, and man, there was some bad, bad art in them.
Speaking of bad art.
Uh-oh.
Did you want to do a quick shotgun of bad comics that I brought?
Sure.
Bad comics? All right. What'd you bring this time?
I got four of them. This one, I haven't read it, but this is a NASCAR comic.
Racewear. I have that one.
Do you have this one?
I have
awesome.
That one.
Look at that.
Yeah.
There. See, Dan?
Is that a key comic? No.
It is. It is the
is
first
it Marvel
appearance?
Spotlight number 5?
It's the first appearance of guys drinking special juice that gives them super-powered suits.
And the art. The art is terrible.
Yeah.
And
Look at this guy. I got my A&W. He's drinking
nice. A root beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are, yeah, they're like, I don't know about the story, but this one features Dale Earnhardt Jr., and the 7-Up guy.
It's the first appearance of Dale Earnhardt Jr. in a comic.
It probably is, yeah.
There we go.
So that one, yeah, there's, I think I have the first 2 or 3 issues. I think it was like 4 or 5.
Mine's,
I can't remember.
Mine's polybagged, just so you know.
Well, yeah.
That
one,
means it's expensive,
the
right?
Second book I brought is John Sable Freelance number 1.
Oh, cool.
So this is the first appearance of John Sable. So this is a key, I guess. If you've ever, have you seen the TV show?
No.
It's no. really bad. So, John Sable is a ripoff.
You don't even have it in a bag and board, so it's not a key comic. That's not a key comic.
It's just a comic. It doesn't matter. Yeah, he's a ripoff of James Bond, and...
Does he say Sable, John Sable?
I don't remember.
Because that would be a true ripoff.
Yeah,
where's my martini?
I think his family was killed by, like, people, and then he goes to be, like, a wildlife, like, ranger in
Africa.
Look
at the name on the cover.
Down here?
Yeah.
Is it Mike?
Mike Grell.
Mike Grell. Who's Mike Grell?
Mike Grell is a famous famous comic book guy.
There
he's
you
a
go.
Writer.
Yeah.
That's what...
He wrote a lot of Green Arrow, I think. I remember him writing some Green Arrow.
Yeah, and he actually was a novelist. He actually has novels.
I think this might be based off a book. It's probably not. I don't know. The third last book. Oh, my God. Okay, this is the bad art one.
Oh, wow.
So this is...
it's an all-black cover.
No, that's the back. The cover isn't black. I can't figure out who published this because there's no information in it. It's the
wow.
Babes of Baywatch.
That looks like something that, you know, a a public school kid would have drawn. It's terrible.
It's more...
it's... Their faces are melting.
And the, like, we all know that there's unnatural poses in comic books when it comes to female characters, yep. But usually they're not so unnatural that their heads are turned at like an, you know, 180 degree angle.
So like the other books I brought in where it was like this style, where it's, this is more of an information book about the actresses. They talk about them. The cover is usually the best artwork, right?
Yeah.
But then when you go inside, you think, that isn't that bad. But then when you keep on looking at it, it just, you find more flaws it's with it.
One of those things that gets worse.
It's kind of like
more you look
mad.
At it.
Mad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like mad art, and that looks painful.
Yeah.
That it's literally just some teenage boy drawing. Pausing the TV, the screen, and drawing
women.
The best to the best of his not a lot of ability. And Hasselhoff.
There's
looks
Hasselhoff.
Great.
Wow.
Very scary.
He looks like a lizard man.
I'll get Dan to take pictures of these and upload them later. And then they talk about her time in Playboy magazine and whatnot. And then the last comic, because this is probably just horrible for everyone listening. This is a comic based off a movie, based off a comic. And it's one of my favorite Marvel movies.
Daredevil
with Ben Affleck.
The official adaptation.
Yeah, and unlike all the other ones, this one's in color.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so...
You know what? I didn't mind the Daredevil movie. The only part of the whole movie that really bothered me...
Playground fight?
Is the playground fight. The rest of the movie, I thought, was pretty good. But that playground fight, for me, was like... That's... 5 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of Colin Farrell. Just the way he looked. He looked dumb.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, yeah.
Well, yeah, like the, I don't know, whatever they call
just
that.
Just him, like, touching his forehead a lot and be like, bullseye. Stop it, sir.
To point out that he's got a bullseye in his head.
Yeah.
Like, guys, that's my name. That's my name is up there.
I never miss.
Yeah, scarification. That's what the word I was digging for there.
Yeah, so those are the four books I brought in. They're not all horrible. And look, we're book buddies now. For this
buddies,
NASCAR.
Yeah.
It's amazing the fun stuff you get.
It's true. I don't know if I have the Jeff Gordon one.
That's a 19-year-old book now.
It is.
And March you don't first. Even have it bagged and boarded. Not even your garbage books, you don't bag and board.
No, I took them out earlier.
Oh,
right
okay.
Here, see?
Oh, so at least you protect them for transportation.
I'm really hot. I was going to pretend to wipe myself, but I wouldn't do it with that one. I can't do it with any of these. There's... too much respect for Daredevil and Friends.
All it's going to take for some of those books is like for somebody to be doing something weird, you know, like make a John Sable movie where actually...
Oh my God.
Like, let's make a NASCAR movie.
They have.
Not based on the comics though.
Can somebody make a John Sable movie? That'd be... license it from First Comics?
I don't even think First Comics exists anymore.
Probably not, no.
Have you actually read that comic?
I haven't read this one, no. There's, since this is from the, like, the early 80s, there's lots of, like, Nazis in it and lots of adult situations. But it's not an adult comic. It's just, it's him being, like, ladies and then saving them, I guess. But yeah, they're, like, the TV show, if you can, it's on YouTube. Watch the first episode. It's horrible. But, and that's what piqued my interest in finding this guy, which I think cost me $10. Maybe? I don't know. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's only money. It's just got a comic.
You paid $10 for that?
Probably.
That's a dollar book if I ever saw one.
No. Look, eBay this right now.
You eBay it.
I don't want to. I don't want to be disappointed.
$1 free shipping.
Okay. I'm going to look it up. Free shipping.
Free. That hurts.
Yeah, he has a bunch of series. Just like just Sable and but this is John Sable freelance.
And that's the sound of two of three co-hosts Googling John Sable freelance.
Are you looking it up as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm just checking it out here because you know that's now you got me curious.
Oh, there's a CGC 9.8 up, $32 shipping, zero bids. It's $1.30 right now.
Zero
so
bids.
It does it say first appearance of John Sable on the label?
Let me see.
I bet it doesn't because CGC doesn't.
Oh, there's one. 9.4. It's not CGC'd, but it's a $1.30.
No, this just says Mike Rell story cover and art.
So, sorry, what was the shipping, Adam?
30?
30. So, for $30 plus a $1 bid, you can get a 9.8 of John Sable.
If you pay $10, you overpaid.
You
just throwing it out there.
No, it's fine.
His first appearance, though. I mean, it is. No matter what happens, you will always have that.
Yeah, don't take away from me, Dan.
There was like issue number 42 in there, so it was been around for a while.
Yeah, there's multiple series as well. I saw it and I wanted it, and I double checked to see what the first appearance was. So
you did your homework to make sure that you were getting the right
book
comic.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't really care about the price.
Until you saw that you could have got a slabbed copy for $1.
could you imagine?
There's that.
They're still shipping, though.
Can you? But you paid $10 for this, like, you know, not mint condition book.
What are you talking about? This looks great.
Yeah, it does. That was seven spine dings right there.
No, like, there's like, what are these, staple holes? Not staple holes.
Yeah, but I mean, those are. Wouldn't affect the grading because they're part of the process.
That's definitely not white pages either. Just so you know.
But like, so who decides to slab
John Sable
number one?
And like,
but it's number one.
Like, was there movie rumors or something? Because I don't see a reason why you would slab that.
Slab all kinds of crap that is not worth slabbing.
Do they date the slabs? Like, if you look the barcode, you can see when it was. Okay.
Yeah, it'll say right on it. Maybe on the back, but it does say when it was slabbed.
I'm gonna screenshot this the serial number so I can look it up.
Tune in next week when we find out when this guy slabbed it.
Yeah.
It's the shipping. That's the...
I don't know. I would say it's the John Sable.
Yeah, here's a run 1 to 56 for $72. 68 shipping. Like,
72 comics is a lot, though, to ship.
56.
Okay, but that's still 56 comics is a decent amount to ship.
Buying in lots is a good way to get it all. It's also a horrible way to ship.
Yeah. No, I did. There's one. Yeah. $1.57 plus $6 shipping. I think I did very good, though.
I mean, if you were a fan of the slab, you could do better. Because you're not going to read it anyways.
I'm going to read it.
Ouch.
Bid on it. Bid on it.
Peer pressure.
But what gave you the idea for your stories? About leprechauns living in Central Park. Just read one word balloon.
Wow. That you proved me wrong.
Leprechauns in Central Park.
Okay, that's all the comic books I have.
That's all? Okay.
I know.
Oh, that's a shame. There was some interesting stuff there.
Next week, Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies. Nice.
Yeah.
So what was up with that... Punisher one you were just looking at there.
So in the newest issue of the Punisher, he takes on, basically makes a statement against police in real life who are using the Punisher's decal as a part of their like literal professional stuff, because apparently like some police forces in the United States have Punisher decals painted onto their police cars.
In comics?
No, in real life.
Shut up.
Yeah. So
we're here to protect and serve Punisher skull on my car.
Like the Punisher. See, the thing is
terrifying.
I know, Chris, you're a big Punisher fan.
I am.
But like, he's not supposed to be the guy that you're cheering for. Like he's the bad guy.
No,
he's the semi good guy. He's the guy who does things that nobody else is allowed to do. And that's why he's interesting to read and not so great for real life.
Like somebody like the Punisher in real life is just a mass murderer.
It would be terrifying. Horrible.
That's just a mass murderer.
Yeah, it would just be somebody who kills at
rather
will
than
and random
with no due process in the legal system.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nobody in authority should be emulating the Punisher's methods or attitude.
No.
And so basically in this current issue of the Punisher, some cops stop him. They realize he's the Punisher and they're like trying to take selfies with him. And he sees that they have his logo painted on their car and he like scratches it off. And then I stopped reading because I was just looking at the article here, but
the military, that one guy, the sniper, Chris something, his group that was using the Punisher skull as their logo as well. And again, the same sort of thing. Yeah, it's a cool looking logo, but what the Punisher stands for is not something that people who are protecting people should be. This is who we emulate. We emulate a random mass murderer. Fun for comics, not so fun for real life.
Emulate John Sable instead.
Yes.
Oh. He just does something shaken, about leprechauns. Stirred.
I think he was on drugs.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
Are you going to get the Punisher War Machine helmet that's being released?
I didn't know they were releasing a War Machine helmet.
Yeah, with the Punisher skull on it.
Oh.
But it's like blocky part of it, not painted on. That's the only thing I didn't like. But yeah, Hasbro is releasing it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe. maybe I can convince my wife to let me have one more thing. In
149 or one? I can't remember. It's somewhere like that. Ah, it's fine.
Can you wear it?
Yeah, you can, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
That just makes it that much more cool if you can actually wear it.
Like, that gives you a chance. Like, no, like, I can, it's a Halloween costume.
Yeah, yeah, see, I can wear it, and I'll walk around with the kids at Halloween, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, like, I see at our work, we get lots of cool statues and stuff in, and I don't buy anything because I don't have any room or a lot of money for that kind of stuff because I'm, you know, spending all my money on stupid stuff, but.
Oh, yeah.
There's some cool.
That's from the comic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so yeah, it opens up. You can definitely wear it.
So, Chris, do you want to give us a 45-second Spider-Man Far From Home non-spoiler review?
Sure. I liked it. It was a very good, fun movie. It's well done. I like Tom Holland. He is a very believable Peter Parker. Even though he's like 20, you'd actually think that he's in high school. And then when you see him in shots next to adults like Jake Gyllenhaal, he actually looks like a little kid sitting beside Jake Gyllenhaal. No, it was a fun movie. I really enjoyed it.
Chris, I asked Chris to spoil the movie for me before the show because I know I'll never see it. So,
and I did.
And he did. All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode. Hopefully the heat will break and next week we won't be puddles of sweat in here. But you can check us out on iTunes as always, Stitcher, Google Play. And or just the heykidscomics.ca website. All right. I'm stalling for time as I look for the button.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?